Welcome to the Healthcare IS podcast, where we tackle today's challenges in the health IT workforce. Broadcasting live from Sacramento, California, here's your host, David Cushon.
Hi there, everyone. This is David Cushon, Managing Partner of Healthcare IS. Welcome to our second podcast. First off, I'd like to thank everyone very much for all the comments, the Facebook likes, and the LinkedIn shares that we received on our last podcast. We really appreciate you helping getting the word out to your networks about our podcast and our episodes. You know, our philosophy with these podcasts is it's all about our listeners and giving our listeners the type of information that they're looking for to help them with their careers, making decisions. If you're a hiring manager, helping how to assemble and manage your team. So please continue to reach out to us, make a comment on our blog, send us an email letting us know your thoughts, how we can do better, and also any thoughts that you may have on information you'd like to hear about or learn more about, and we'll be sure to make sure they're a part of a future podcast coming up. All right, before we get into the two segments of our podcast today, I just have one announcement I want to make, give the folks out there listening something to anticipate and look forward to. You know, every week, at least 3 to 4 times a week, I have a conversation with somebody that's looking to get into consulting. Getting into consulting is a very big decision, not only from a professional level, but from a personal level as well, and it needs to be looked at very seriously. And I just find that most people that I talk to don't have a full spectrum of what all of their options are. And because of this, we're going to try to take the information that I share with people on a regular basis and put it into an ebook, where the sole focus of the ebook is going to be to share the different structures of consulting opportunities that are available in the market. The book's not going to be so much geared around helping you decide whether or not consulting as a career is a good career decision for you. And the reason for that is there's just too many different skill sets or areas of knowledge that exist in the world of healthcare IT. And each one of those may have different career paths. And depending upon what you've done and where you want to be headed, it would be just a little too difficult to articulate in a way that could be very constructive or could be a helpful and constructive resource without having an individual conversation with someone one-on-one to really give them guidance as to whether it's a good career move. But if you've decided that consulting, is a good career move for you, what this ebook will hope to do is give you the different structures, tell you the pros and cons, things like whether or not it's best to join a consulting firm, when it might be best to be a part of a firm, things to look for in firms, or whether or not it's better to do it more on a contract basis. If you decide to do contract, or should you do a W-2, should you do corp-to-corp? These are just the questions that we get asked all the time. And we're going to put this ebook together in a way that I can share my perspective and give you folks a document that you can refer to make the best decisions for yourself. We're also going to include some insight into these types of issues within the tip segments of our podcasts on a monthly basis. Be sure to tune in for those tips where I can go into a little bit more detail and explaining things that I may not be able to go into in a book. Today's podcast has two main sections. We will move forward with a tip segment today where we're going to talk about bench time as an employee of a consulting firm and what that entails and a couple of points that you should look into or be sure about before you get involved with a consulting firm and just making sure expectations are clear. And then also we have another interview today with an informatics pharmacist, Jerry Farney, who's been in the marketplace for a while. He's a blogger. We'll go into more detail there. And so with that, let's transition into the tip segment of our podcast today. All right, welcome to the tip segment today. This tip segment today revolves around the concept of bench time. First off, bench time is a term that's referred to as the time a consultant spends not working in between consulting engagements. Many people join consulting firms because as an employee of a consulting firm, you're generally compensated or paid your salary during your bench time. And for people transitioning into consulting for the first time, it certainly feels like a safer way, a more stable financial way to get into consulting. And for many people, although there are many points of attraction to joining a consulting firm, this one comes up kind of as the kicker that tips people in the direction of going to a consulting firm as opposed to doing consulting on a contract basis. Now, what I want to cover are just two main points that many people ask me about, and there's no clear-cut answer. And this tip is here so that you can have expectations set properly before getting into an employment relationship with a consulting firm. The first thing to ask is, how long will your bench time last? So if one engagement ends, how long will they pay you for bench time if they're not able to find another engagement? And the concept around it kind of comes down to this. Normally, as a salaried employee at a consulting firm, you will be paid a little bit less, could be significant, but normally, in any way you look at it, less on an hourly basis as a salaried employee when you're working than if you were working as a contract consultant. So for an example, you might be able to go out into the marketplace and make $12,000 a month as a contract consultant, but as a salaried employee, you might make $9,000 a month. Now, let's just say you worked for 2 years straight with no bench time, the time you took off where you're, the PTO that came with your employment package. Well, for 2 years now, you've made $3,000 a month less on salary than you could have made as a contract consultant. You want to find out how long they're willing to keep you on the bench should we hit rocky times in the marketplace. Because under the example I just gave, over a two-year period, you will have made $72,000 less as a salaried employee, assuming you could have been working full-time as a contract employee, than you could have made as a contract employee. And where most people feel like they didn't get a fair shake is if they join a consulting firm, which includes less compensation than you could have made on a contract basis, you work 2 years straight, and then all of a sudden you find yourself on the bench for a couple of months, and the consulting firm decides that they can't find work for you, so they're going to end the relationship. So I think you want to get a sense of how long they're really going to keep you on the bench. Does it make sense for you to take $3,000 less for 2 years to find out that that really equates into just 1 month or maybe 2 months of bench time? I don't know what's right for you. Every organization may do things a little bit differently. I'm not necessarily suggesting something is better or worse. I'm just suggesting that you ask that question specifically and be clear on what the expectations are before you begin that employment relationship. The second thing is, what will you have to do or what will be required of you in order to stay off the bench? So what I mean by that is, let's say you're somebody that's hired, you like to, your area of specialty is to do build work for medication order sets. Let's say you come off one engagement doing that exact type of work, you like doing that type of work, but you come off an engagement, you're on the bench for a month, and the organization you work for asks you to participate in go live support for 3 weeks. Now, for 3 weeks, you may not mind doing that, but you certainly may not feel as if that's what you want to continually do. What you tend to find is that as an employee of a consulting firm, in order for them to continually keep you working and paying your compensation, you're going to certainly have to have a level of flexibility into the types of engagements you would accept. It's not necessarily reasonable for you to tell your employer who's paying you a salary that you're not going to take a new engagement or go to work at a project because you don't enjoy it. You will have to have some flexibility. But the key, again, is to get an understanding as to how often that may occur, what types of projects they would have you in mind for, and maybe what percentage of time they see you working on the projects that you would find ideal, as opposed to the certain projects that you could do, but didn't necessarily take the job to do. So again, just to kind of wrap up, again, I'm not saying what's right or what's wrong or what's best for any scenario, but where I speak to many consultants who find that they're not in situations that they thought they were getting into are just two main questions to ask. Number one, how does the bench time work? How long will they actually keep you on the bench in between engagements? Just be clear on that. And secondly, you know what the ideal work is that you would ideally like to do and why you joined the firm. Get a good sense of if there is a lull in the ideal types of projects, what other types of work and for how long they might ask you to also participate in. Okay, hey, welcome back to the interview portion of the podcast. We're here today with our guest, Jerry Farney. Jerry, welcome.
Thanks, Dave. Glad to be here.
Thanks for being here. As I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, the interview part of the podcast is to talk with an experienced IT or informatics pharmacist, just to give a perspective of what the career is like, what some of the challenges in transitioning into this career are from a more traditional role. And so I'm very grateful to have Jerry here as our guest today. Jerry's a PharmD, received his PharmD from UCSF in 1997. He was a pharmacist in an acute care hospital setting for about 10 years. And while in that hospital, transitioned into a pharmacy IT role for three additional years, for 13 years total. Jerry is now a product manager working at Talist and has been in that role for the past 2 years. He's interested in all different types of technologies, especially technologies that have the potential to advance a pharmacy practice. And Jerry blogs regularly, at his site, jerryfarney.com. And that's Jerry, JerryFahrni.com. I read it regularly. There's great information there. Jerry shares his opinions on all sorts of things, but he's very frequently introducing new technologies and processes and methodologies that are happening out in the marketplace that I find very valuable, and I think you will too. So with that, want to move forward, Jerry, and just get your thoughts on and opinions on a couple of things here that I think will be helpful to our listeners who are thinking about getting into the industry. And I guess start off with, one of the questions that I've asked, or I get asked quite frequently, is, you know, what's the difference between an IT pharmacist or an informatics pharmacist? Jerry, can you share your thoughts on that with me?
Sure, you bet. You know, in the purest sense of the form, the informatics is basically about collecting, analyzing, pushing, and pulling data, and information technology is more about the hardware. And the software and kind of more the operational way that things work inside of technology. But if you look at it, those terms are really interchangeable inside of pharmacy. There's no really great definition or differentiation between the two. You know, and that's indicative if you look at ASHP, they actually, the name of their section is the ASHP Section for Pharmacy Informatics and Technology. You know, if you go in and look at job descriptions, they're all over the board. So honestly, those two terms currently are interchangeable. I think the job in itself is in its infancy. And so as it continues to grow, I don't know if those are eventually going to be separated back out or not. But that's currently how I see the difference and similarities between those two terms. So if you're talking to somebody and you say an informatics pharmacist or an IT pharmacist, you know, you're basically talking about the same person.
Okay. Thanks for that opinion there. You know, so here you are, Jerry, you're working in your hospital for about 10 years, and then you transition into an IT pharmacist role. You know, at that time, if you take yourself back, what originally attracted you to this area of pharmacy?
You know, it kind of just happened. I was always the guy that was tinkering with stuff as far as the technology goes and trying to figure out ways to pull data out of systems and use things a different way. And, you know, at one point I worked specifically in operations. And as I picked up projects, they always seemed to be IT related inside of the pharmacy. And I just found that I had a real interest in it. You know, I had an interest in it at home. I had all the toys and all the little gadgets and things like that. So it just seemed like a natural fit for me. And as I was working along in my career, an opportunity presented itself where a hospital was looking for somebody to specialize in this area. And for me, after being, you know, just a clinician for about 10 years, I was looking for a change of pace, and it worked out perfect. And once I got into the position, I realized that, you know, I really enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed it more than working inside the pharmacy by itself or even working up on the floor. So it was just a natural fit for me. I felt very comfortable doing it. So okay. There was never any question once I decided.
So it sounded like you were sold from day one. There wasn't ever a time where you weren't quite sure if this was for you or not.
You know, there were times. I mean, there were definitely some times when, you know, I questioned the decision. I mean, overall, it was great. But, you know, for example, it's a lot of work, you know, and there's a lot of things that go along with doing that type of work. It's a little disjointed. You know, the very first time that I was on call over a holiday and, you know, I had to reset someone's password at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, that's when you question whether or not this was a great idea or not. And, you know, that happens. And you're the guy responsible for a lot of different things. As a pharmacist, you know, you tend to do your job and you worry about things when you leave and you go home, but you don't obsess about them and the work doesn't follow you home. But when you're working in the IT side of things, it tends to be 24/7. You go to work, you spend your 8 or 10 hours there. And when you come home, there's still little things that can creep up on you.
So Jerry, when you think about some of the people that you work with or come in contact with in the pharmacy IT space, and maybe think of people that haven't succeeded or have eventually felt like this wasn't the right move for them, what are some of the things that causes that to occur? Why do you think that happens for certain individuals?
You know, I personally think it's the same reason people have a problem in any type of job. I think you have to have a passion for it and you have to have a desire to do it. Because it is so different than what most pharmacists do, you have to really have a mindset that this is what you want to do. If you get into it and you think of it as just another job, just a, you know, another 9-to-5 way to make some money, I think that's where they fail in this type of a role. I think you have to have a passion for it and a desire to do it and a certain mentality. Like I said, it's different than any other type of pharmacy I've ever practiced. So that's, to me, the key factor. You just have to love what you do.
Okay. Makes sense. It's really interesting where if you just love what you do, it seems to take care of a lot of those things. You know, when you look back on it, and not that it was a good thing or a bad thing, but as you got into this area for a while, what were a couple of things that just weren't as you expected? I mean, maybe not good, not bad, but as a way to reflect upon and give some advice to somebody else. But what were a couple of things that you experienced that as you look back, you just say, that wasn't, you know, hey, it still worked out, but it wasn't quite as I originally thought it would be.
You know, I think the fact that what an IT pharmacist does is still not well defined surprised me. When I first entered pharmacy, the roles were well defined. You know, this is what you do on a day-to-day basis. You come in and you take care of business. When I moved into the IT side of things, it was kind of all over the board. There was such a huge range of things that you did, and it was different from day to day, and things continued to just pile up, basically. And so as you went down your checklist, the checklist continued to grow. You know, I'm a very checklist type of guy, and, you know, I like to, you know, these are the three things I want to accomplish, and I get through those three, and, you know, ta-da, it was a successful day. Well, when I moved into the IT role, you know, I checked off those three things, and there were four things below it, and I don't think I expected that. It's continual change with no end in sight, if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely.
That was the one thing that it caught me totally off guard.
No, it makes a lot of sense, and I could see how that would be something that you wouldn't expect coming from the role you were in. You know, there's a lot of people out here that are maybe thinking about getting into pharmacy IT or informatics. And I think for somebody who's not educated completely on what the role is day to day, what piece of advice might you give somebody? What would you tell them to be thinking about that you're pretty sure the average person thinking about this just isn't thinking about or taking into consideration right now?
Well, I think a couple of things, basically. Number one, you have to be willing to work alone a lot because systems typically don't have more than one IT pharmacist. You end up making a lot of decisions on your own and you end up doing a lot of things by yourself. And it's kind of hit and miss. The other thing, which is completely counterintuitive, is you end up being involved with a lot more groups of different healthcare professionals than you ever were. When you worked as a pharmacist, with a pharmacist, I interacted with physicians and nurses. And when I moved into that kind of that IT pharmacy role, you continue to interact with physicians and nurses, but now you're also interacting with, you know, the IT department themselves. You're interacting with the quality assurance guys. You're interacting with the lab guys. You're interacting with the ADT people. I mean, just your exposure to the different areas of hospitals grows significantly. You know, I remember the first time I went to a meeting and I was the representative from pharmacy and I was sitting around a table with the C-suite and they were talking about, you know, implementing some new system in the hospital. That is the first time I'd ever been exposed to something at that level. So I would warn pharmacists that if they're going to go into this role, they're going to be exposed to a lot of different things that they've just never seen before.
I've heard that from time to time, that it certainly widens the scope of the things you need to take into consideration.
It does. And, you know, it's funny because at the same time, it really gives you a peek at yourself to see where your weaknesses are. And, you know, you always, well, a lot of people don't really think they have a lot. But once you jump into that role, you realize very quickly what you don't know and you don't understand, and it becomes apparent pretty fast.
Makes sense. You know, we've talked about a few of the things you didn't expect as you were getting into this area. Was, you know, what would you have considered to be, and maybe you've answered this, but maybe by me asking this, you might think of something different, but what was the biggest surprise that, you know, for people that get into this area of pharmacy, what was the biggest surprise for you?
The biggest surprise to me was how many systems don't talk to each other in the healthcare system and how much goes on behind the scenes to make that happen. The workload is tremendous. I didn't realize there were that many disparate systems within a healthcare system. You know, you always, you know, when I was a pharmacist, I'd enter an order and poof, by magic, I got something out the other end and I got the warnings that I needed. And, you know, the order was shipped to the nurses on the floor, and it made it to the automated dispensing cabinets, and, you know, it was just magic. And I had the admission information from the patient, and I had their medical history in front of me. And when I got into the IT role, I was just shocked at the number of different systems that were needed to make that happen, and just the sheer number of bodies that it took to keep it up and running.
Sure.
That surprised me a lot. That surprised me a lot.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let me ask you, going to a different area, I get a lot of pharmacists that work in the retail space looking to transition into more of an informatics or an IT-related type role. From your perspective, and there seems to be varying opinions on this, and I'd like your opinion. From your perspective, does a pharmacist that work in retail, is there a way that they can bring value as an IT or an informatics pharmacist?
You're just begging for people to send me hate mail, aren't you?
Just asking the questions, Jerry.
Yeah, you know, I go back and forth on this a little bit throughout my career, and I'm just going to, this in general for hospital pharmacy, retail pharmacists in general have not fared well in the hospital environment because it is so different from what they're used to doing. Now, with that said, I would not think that a pharmacist that has spent a lot of time in retail would be able to transition well into an acute care IT pharmacy role. I think experience has a lot to play in the acute care pharmacy IT role. Experience in operations, clinical duties, I think that helps you do your job. And I think a retail pharmacist coming over would lack that experience, lack that knowledge of just generally how things work. So I don't think it would be an easy transition for them. And most retail guys that I've worked with in the hospital have typically not done well and moved on. And so I would think the same thing would apply here.
Well, I appreciate your opinion on that. I know that, you know, maybe that might not be, I've got a saying, it may not be what they want to hear, but maybe good to know, or at least provide folks coming from that environment, give them some things to think about, maybe better prepare themselves if that's possible. So
now, with that said,
yeah,
I think there's an untapped opportunity in the outpatient ambulatory care area that IT pharmacists have not explored. And I do think there's an opportunity out there for those guys to get involved on the ground floor, because as far as I know, that doesn't exist yet.
Okay. Well, good. So going in a different direction, a lot of times I'm speaking with hospital facilities that use a particular piece of software, have certain technologies or devices installed, and they will typically look to hire an informatics pharmacist who is familiar with the software, the devices, the technology, the infrastructure. You know, in your opinion, will people who are familiar with the software and technologies that are installed, do they always bring more value than maybe an informatics or IT pharmacist who has done this type of work but another facility around different applications or devices?
No, I don't think so. I think it's nice to have it in the short term. You know, if you have something going on and you need somebody, it's always nice when they have that experience in the short term because they can, you know, up and running pretty quickly. But I think, you know, a certain skill set along with some clinical acumen and just, you know, good logic skills is more valuable than having working knowledge of a system, because you can take somebody who's very intelligent, well-rounded, and with a lot of experience, and they can learn about a system. That's not a problem. You can take somebody who knows something about a system, but if they don't have the ability to pick up the rest of the stuff around them, I don't think you've gained anything. So I think it's nice to have, you know, if you can get it, I think that's great with a lot of the other attributes. But if you have somebody that's just very good at what they do and sharp and can pick things up, I don't see a problem with that.
Something I hear also quite often, or I see quite often, is the fact that there may be in one organization an IT pharmacist who does a certain set of tasks in an IT department, and in another organization, an informatics pharmacist doing the same set of tasks in a pharmacy. And so what I'm curious to learn from, in your opinion, is there are there any advantages or disadvantages to situations where an IT pharmacist would work either in the pharmacy or in the IT department?
You know, depends on who you talk to. And you're asking me, I think it's better to have the IT pharmacist in the pharmacy. And the reason I say that is because you're close to what's going on. The last job that I had as an IT pharmacist, my office was literally across the hall from the pharmacy, and I spent a lot of time in the pharmacy, which makes sense to me because you're working with the systems that are in there. And pharmacists were willing to come across the hall and talk to me. I was easily accessible. In the same building across the street was the IT department. So we were actually physically separated by, you know, 100 yards. And I think that would have been a barrier for me. The previous pharmacist that had my position at this hospital actually worked in the IT department, and they felt that that was just not a great fit for how they wanted to work. Now, I've also talked to some other pharmacists that think it's better to work in the IT department, and I understand that if that's the way they want to go. But I think there's times when you just need to be in the pharmacy, and you don't know when those times are. So I think to be accessible to those guys and to be around those guys, I just think that's the way to work. So in my opinion, I think it's better to be in the pharmacy.
Okay. You know, and I guess maybe to add on to that, are there times when you can specifically think that it could be advantageous to either specifically work in the pharmacy or specifically work in the IT department? Or?
Oh, definitely. Okay. I mean, you know, I didn't barricade myself in the pharmacy. There were times when I went over and I actually had a cubicle there in the IT department when we were doing testing or when we were installing a new system or we were looking at a new database design or something. I would actually set up over there for maybe, you know, 3, 4, 5 days or even as long as a couple of weeks at a time, specifically when we were doing our CPOE implementation, so that I could work with the people who were troubleshooting those systems, and I was nearby. Proximity, you know, counts. But then on the flip side, in terms of maintenance and the day-to-day operations, I think it was really important for me to be right across the hall from the pharmacy, or even in the pharmacy for that matter. It was easy for the technicians to come across the hall and say, hey, you know, I've never seen this before. Would you come take a look at it? And it was, you know, took me 30 seconds to walk over there and eyeball it myself, which just, it gives you something that you don't have if you're separated physically by the pharmacy. I think there's a disconnect there. So absolutely, I think there's benefits to being in the pharmacy, but I think there's times when it's okay to be over in the IT department, and I think you have to be able to make the decision on which time works best for what.
Great. Well, that sounds great, Jerry. You know, again, I want to thank you very much for your time here. I know that they're, you know, these are just answers to questions that I guess get asked every day, and I think there's a lot of value for the people listening to just hear the opinions of someone who's been successful in this area and had a wide variety of experience and exposure in the pharmacy IT space. So again, anybody that's listening that I think a great resource out there is Jerry's website, jerryfarney.com, JerryFahrni.com. Jerry, thanks again. Thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Anytime, Dave.
All right. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to check out our podcast next month. We're coming out normally on a monthly basis. Second week of the month is what we've been targeting. Next month, we'll have another tip. We'll have another interview with another pharmacy informatics specialist. Be sure to view the transcript of today's interview by going to our website, healthcareis.com, and by visiting the blog section. Also, our ebook, as I mentioned earlier, we are targeting to have that out by the end of the month. If you want to be sure to receive the update when that, or an announcement or notification when that's available, be sure to go onto our website, go to our blog section, and subscribe to our blog. All of our blog subscribers will receive that announcement via email as to when they can go onto our website and download that ebook. So thanks again for listening, and we hope you come back next month, mid-March, for our next podcast. Thanks.